We are joined now on Pacific Days by the seabed mining campaigner with Greenpeace Aotearoa, James Hita. James hails from Te Tai Tokerau with his whakapapa in Ahipara, seabed mining campaigner at Greenpeace Aotearoa, as part of the Oceans team and a fierce advocate for Māori and Pacific peoples. James is also an experienced health and well-being professional with a demonstrated history of working in the not-for-profit sector. James joins us now on Pacific Days. Kia ora, and thank you so much for your time this afternoon, James.
Kia ora, thanks for having me, Brian.
Well, James, firstly, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
So I'm Māori, and it's a really, really strong part of my identity. I grew up in a little suburb in Auckland called Glen Innes. And the tamaki community is really why I'm here, you know, hearing the calls of my people for change and being able to spread that around the world, really, on the seabed mining kaupapa. It's really beautiful and something I'm really passionate about. So thanks for having me.
Can you tell us, firstly, a bit about the work that Greenpeace Aotearoa does, please?
Yeah, so Greenpeace is, well, we're actually just about to turn 50 years old worldwide, but it's an organisation that sits outside of governments, non-governmental organisation, and the primary focus is improving environmental outcomes all around the world. Greenpeace Aotearoa specifically has worked on campaigns like the Nuclear Free campaign, and we've got a really strong agriculture campaign as well, trying to share the message of regenerative agriculture and moving away from industrial dairying and water health, etc. So it's a really beautiful organisation to work for.
And talking about nuclear free, I read that you were part of or standing in solidarity with the people of French Polynesia recently with regards to protests and the nuclear testing over around, what, 4 or 5 decades now.
Yeah, the people of Tahiti are not being heard by the French government, and it was really an honour to stand in solidarity with them through that, and calling for French independence for Tahiti and reparations to be paid for the nuclear fallout from their tests back in the 70s. And I'm really honoured to be wearing my taonga here from Ina and Tony, the organisers of that protest as well.
Now, in terms of your role as seabed mining campaigner, can you give us an overview of that and how you came to, you know, to be in the role, please, James?
Yeah, my role is really interesting. It's not a question that can be answered easily when people ask me what I do for work. But realistically, what I'm doing at the end of the day is spreading the message of what's actually happening with seabed mining so that people are aware and can make the right decisions. Another layer of that is actually amplifying Pacific voices, because we've got communities over in the Pacific Islands right now who are standing up to their governments and saying that they don't want seabed mining to happen, just like Vanuatu in the last week. People have stood up and called on their government to make seabed mining completely illegal by law. So it's a pocket of what I do, but we also engage with lots of different communities and speak to the organizations who can potentially vote on making these changes as well and trying to convince them to do the right thing.
What is seabed mining and its impacts on the environment, especially the oceans?
Seabed mining is something that is quite interesting, because we know that it's going to have a really detrimental effect on the environment. We know it's going to wipe out the biodiversity on the seafloor that we don't even understand yet. The real problem that we have, though, is that the science hasn't gone far enough to confirm quite how bad it'll be. And that's the question that's been asked here, Brian. How bad is seabed mining going to be? It's not whether it will be bad or not. So we need to really urgently get that change in place, because, you know, they ran tests back in the 80s, and 30 years later, they saw literally no recovery of the biodiversity, 0% recovery rate. So we know that it's going to have a really detrimental effect. We just need to find out how bad it's going to be.
In a nutshell, how does seabed mining work? What is the process, please, James?
Yeah, so it's actually a really complex situation, but simplified, basically, they send ships out with robotic mining vessels, drop them down to the bottom of the seafloor, and completely obliterate, crush all of the material down there, suck it all up to the ship, sort it out to see what's of value to humans, and then we pump the rest back out. And that's one of the big keys. Is that sediment that's released by these ships can last 20 plus years and actually smother all of the fish, the coral reefs, any of that biodiversity that's there will be completely smothered by that plume after being ground up by machines. So it's not a nice process at all.
So when they mine the seabed, is there, you know, something in particular that they're looking for, like fish or you know, minerals or something like that, James?
Yeah, there's actually a really big myth going around by these that's actually being portrayed by these companies. And basically, they're saying that we need these minerals and metals to make batteries and advance solar power, wind, all of these kind of things to make the world a bit greener. The problem is that that's not true. We don't need the minerals and metals that we can get from the seafloor. We actually already get them from on land. And that, as we've seen from history, is bad enough, the atrocities that happen in the mining industries. So we don't need what's already down there. We can leave it alone until, at the very least, we know the impact we're going to have before we go and wipe out a whole nother ecosystem without even realizing what we're doing.
James, who are some of the big players when we're looking at seabed mining, whether it be, you know, companies or countries?
The biggest player is the International Seabed Authority, who sit under the United Nations. They were set up to protect the environment and regulate the industry. Problem is that they don't do very much at all, and they are only potentially meeting once before seabed mining goes ahead in the next 2 years by Nauru, who is the country that's sponsoring a company in triggered the 2 year rule recently, basically meaning they're going to start in 2 years. Another big player is the IUCN, where it was actually just voted to get 160 of the member states to call for a moratorium, a pause on seabed mining, until we know the impact a bit better. And New Zealand was really interesting in that we had the Department of Conservation vote on our behalf. And they actually chose to abstain from voting this time around. So we're quite disappointed in the government for not being able to hold a really strong position on that.
In terms of what you know, we can do to raise awareness on this topic, what would you recommend, James?
It's a case of being aware, knowing the information that's out there, and actually going to seek more. There's a ton of information put out by various different organizations all around the world. It's just a case of taking a moment to look for it. I'm sharing quite a lot of that through Greenpeace Aotearoa as well. So visiting our website and jumping onto one of our mailing lists, signing the seabed mining petition is a really awesome way as well to show the government that we don't want this to go ahead and get them to make those really strong decisions for us. But sharing that message as well with your friends and whānau, that's really important, because some guy on the radio or the internet telling you about a problem is not going to be anywhere near as effective as your direct whānau speaking to you about it. So spread the word as much as possible.
Seabed mining campaigner with Greenpeace Aotearoa, James Hita. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, James. Really appreciate it, and all the very best. Thank you.
Kia ora, Brian.